In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The foresight of our fathers in the faith had, in placing these three feast days immediately after Christmas, has benefited us modern Christians in far greater ways than they ever could have anticipated. How easy for us to get sucked into the secularization or the commercialism that is Americans' version of Christmas. But these three feast days help to keep the proper reality of Christmas before our eyes. Christmas is quaint when it's a stable, a virgin mother, angels singing, shepherds adoring, not so quaint when it's bloodied and slain infants and inconsolable mothers. We can't simply pick the parts of Scripture that we want to hear, that stir up nice feelings at a certain time of year while ignoring the rest. All Scripture is useful for our learning. All Scripture is profitable. And this account of Herod and the Bethlehem boys helps us to put Christmas in a proper place. Yesterday, on the festival of St. John, we heard about the love of God. Today we do not see that love. If there ever was an account that raised an eyebrow as to why God would allow this to happen, it has to be this account. God flees, infants die. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. He could have sent those father's angels, but he doesn't. The innocent suffer. Children who did nothing except to be born in the wrong place at the wrong time are murdered. Herod wouldn't let a child disrupt his way of life. Normally, we protect the weak and the helpless, and certainly infants are just that. We hold them, we nurture them, we love them, we sing to them, we care for them. We do this not only after they are born, but even before they are born, for even in the womb they have souls that will go either to heaven or to hell. So of all the sins of our country, the murder of the unborn is certainly at the top. Our country has perpetuated Herod's order, and has killed boys and girls simply because, like Herod, they disrupt a lifestyle. God knows, God sees, and God will come to judge. But that is his second coming. His first coming was in weakness. His kingdom was not of this world. He couldn't talk. He couldn't roll over or lift up his head. He needed the protection of his creatures. So these infant Bethlehem boys were a shield that protected our Lord and allowed him to escape. Joseph believed the word of the angel, and so rose that very night and fled, even as Herod's sword fell. But unlike soldiers, these babies did not have a choice. Unlike Stephen, who confessed Christ with his mouth, these infants remained silent. But like Stephen, by their blood they confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. We must remember that God wants all men to be saved. If we forget that, then stories like this will never have a chance of understanding properly. That first Christmas really did change the world, but not in the way that commercialism and secularism or American thought wants it to. Christmas thrust the entire world into a battle. And in that battle, everyone dies. The children die. Herod dies, the mothers later on would die, Jesus died, the world died, and even we die. There's no escaping death. But by grace, some die while they are still alive on this earth. Some have cut off the fallen flesh with its wicked desires before the moment of death. Some kill all wicked vice in repentant faith and strive for godliness. These are those who believe. And so they live. Even though their bodies may rest in a grave, they live because Jesus is their life, and this child had redeemed them. And he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. Others die, are buried, and are condemned. They have not faith. Which now brings us back to these boys. We call them the holy innocents, not because they were born innocent, for children are conceived and born in sin. Their fallen flesh was no different than that of Herod's. By nature, they were all the same. Neither are they innocent because they died tragically, as if their time was cut short. I suppose we could say that all life is cut short, because God did not create us to die, but to live forever. So whether we are 2 years old or 92, life and our time is still cut short. But anyways, these infants are innocent because they have faith. They died so that Christ might escape. And Christ died so that they might escape. To say it simply, they died in faith. Circumcision had brought these boys into the covenantal promise of God. They heard the word of God on their mother's knee. And that word created faith. They heard the word in their mother's womb, and they leaped for joy. These children are in heaven for one reason and one reason alone. Jesus Christ is their Savior. Their faith is no different than our faith. So what if they could not speak about it? Faith is not the same thing as knowledge. Infants cannot express faith, and yet Christ reminds us that they are the epitome of faith. Remember what he said, "Whoever will not receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child will never enter it." Children are the epitome of faith, and these Bethlehem boys are the epitome of how to die in faith. Bravely, they laid down their life, confident of the world to come. They clung not to their mothers, but to faith. They reached out not for their dads, but for their heavenly Father who redeemed them by, through his Son, and they were received by him. And so the reading of Revelation shows us what the end of faith is, the great company standing before the throne of God and the Lamb. So understand this, that death awakened their minds. Death sharpened their thoughts. Herod's sword gave them beautiful voices which sing praises to the Lamb forever and ever. They hold no animosity toward Christ for fleeing, but they rejoice that Christ fled, so that later on, at the proper time, he might die in their place. We remember these boys not because of the tragedy that they endured, but because of Christ, how he fled for them, how he gave his life for them, how he gave faith to them through the word, and how he has set them free. And so these children are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. They overcame death. They overcame Herod. They gained the victory. This is why our Lord can speak through the prophet Jeremiah and say, "Keep your voices from weeping and your eyes from tears." Why? He goes on, "For they shall come back from the land of the enemy. They preceded Jesus to the grave, but he will lead them up out of the grave. In him they gain the victory. In him they are victors, champions, and conquerors. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So also in him, these mothers' eyes will dry, and their tears will be wiped away. For there will be no more death or mourning, for the old order of things will be passed away. Right now, for a brief time, they weep inconsolably. But again, in death, their eyes will be dried. And in the grave, they will be led to embrace their dear little boys once more. For St. Peter says, "The promise of eternal life in Christ is for you and for your children." So is it wrong of God to bring his people home to heaven? Of course not. What Herod intended for evil, God used for good. They don't miss out on anything. So don't think that their life was somehow cut short. God brought them home when he was ready, and he will do the same for you. Death and tragedy are not the worst things that could come upon you. but becoming a tyrant like Herod, who fights against Christ in unbelief, is the worst thing that could happen to you. For either way, we will physically die. So how much better to die in the arms of Christ? So today, while we still have breath in our lungs, let us mortify our flesh and kill all sinful desires, even as we have prayed to God. Commercialism has nothing to do with this day, and so it has nothing to do with Christmas. But we do. Secularism will flee this day like a plague, but not us, for we live by faith. We have come to Christ in faith. Here he speaks to us to fill us with the same faith and the same word that he filled those infants with. Here he no longer flees, but he stands among us to give us the same bravery and the same confidence. So let us get rid of all thinking that Christmas is about secularism, commercialism, gifts, food, and family. It's about this Christ child who died for us so that we might die in him. He redeemed us. He loved us. And he promises us a place in heaven next to these valiant boys. And God is faithful. May he ever be so gracious to us. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.